I'll tell you what, let's start with a prayer, okay? Most merciful God, you've given us the gift of life and you've given us the gift of family within which to live out our lives. Please, dear God, as your servants, make us effective in nurturing this gift that you've given us and protecting it from forces which would destroy it, that we might be nurtured as family and that others might just grow to experience the humanness that you've intended for them to experience. We ask your blessing on this evening's proceedings. In your name we pray. Amen. A couple of things. I've obviously never done this before, I wish I could just cut out parts of the recording that didn't want to go on the recording. Many of you know, or people that know you, those of you that know me from before know that I've been involved in the pro-life movement, and as many of you have been. And this past year, I served a vicarage in Washington, D.C., and got to know very well the lady who serves there in the Office of Government Information, Candace Mueller, who is a member of Pilgrim. And I look at Harriet because Harriet and John, they were my predecessors at my vicarage congregation. So she knows Candace very well. And I was talking with Candace, and I said, Candace, you know, we'd like to do something pro-life on campus again this year. And she said, Jay, why don't you think about raising your visions a little bit, and rather than just looking at the pro-life movement, maybe try to see what you can do to just nurture family, just start exploring issues which affect families, and see if there's something that you can do on campus about that. And I've been kind of at a loss as to how to approach that. You know, we don't really have a standing family committee or anything like that. I talked to SemWise, to Linda, about the possibility of approaching SemWise, but I felt like maybe that wasn't quite appropriate to go into a meeting. I don't know, maybe it would be appropriate, I don't know. But at any rate, so we kind of batted something around. And I was kind of stewing this over, and then I saw something which really shocked me and kind of was the impetus to try and see that something happens here. A couple of weeks ago, I was looking at a Christian News that had an article in the front about the pro-life movement, about Lutherans for Life convention in Des Moines. And I thought, oh, Lutherans for Life convention. And so I read the article, and where they continue the article on the inside of the page, on the inside of the newspaper, there was a reprint of a poster which the National Lampoon had put out intending to be humorous. And it was, I don't want to be sensationalistic, but it really was, I think, the most startling thing I have ever seen and the most debasing thing. And it was a picture of a baby that they had put into a blender, and it was entitled Baby in a Blender, poster number 666, and there was a claw reaching into the picture getting ready to turn the blender on, and it was just obscene, and I was raging by the time I'd seen that. The goal was to be humorous, but it was really a very profound prophetic statement in that really Satan is alive and well, and people are being eaten alive, you know, in abortion and other ways. And that he's able to do, that he's doing his task is evidenced in the fact that people see that as humorous. I was just dumbfounded. And so that was kind of the impetus for seeing that something happened. So I appreciate your interest. And I certainly don't want to come off like the family authority here. I'm not even married. So, I can pontificate all about families. I'm the only, Bill and I, we're the two single people here. Okay, so we'll tell you married people what you need to know about families, okay? No. But in ruminating about these things and in talking about what, or thinking about what we might be able to do, came up with a few goals. This is actually also a brainstorm session. What I'm going to do in a little while is present some ideas that we could do on campus to involve people, some specific projects. But as we go through those, you know, you can register your interest, and I will have a handout for you in just a sec. So you'll have that to work with. But what that is intended to be is simply a catalyst of ideas. If you can think of something else that would be an idea that we could do, I welcome that. You know, this is really a group endeavor. I don't want this to be, you know, a presentation just that I'm making. But would like to somehow serve as catalyst for some additional brainstorming. So, backing up to what I started to say before I got into that, was just that some goals are that we find a means for disseminating relevant information pertaining to the family and also the pro-life movement here on campus, that we find ways of involving ourselves now in doing something, in seeing, you know, getting involved, seeing that something is happening, and that we be prepared for future ministry, obviously. You know, we're only here temporarily, and hopefully we can gather resources to use in future ministry. To that end, these are some basic ideas that I would like to suggest. One would be, and these will be more laid out on the handout that I've got prepared here. Some ways of doing that would be to look at doing some letter writing, both to in terms of legislation and in terms of advertising. One of the things on the list that we'll look at in a little bit has to do with a journal called the National Federation for Decency. I don't know if you're familiar with it. They sometimes, you know, get carried away maybe in what they do, but they're a Christian agency which tries to survey what's happening in the media, who's advertising in Playboy, what stores are selling pornographic magazines, and then they're encouraging Christians to write these places and saying, look, we don't appreciate this, or writing, thank you for taking those off your shelves. I don't know if you remember a while back, 7-Eleven took porno magazines off their shelves. At the same time, out east, there's two chains of stores, People's Drug and Drug Fair, and they both took them off their shelves. And I wrote them both a letter and called their 800 numbers, and I said, I want to tell you thank you for doing that. And the lady said, you are the first person that has called to thank us for that. And I said, just keep it up, please. And so that's appropriate to tell them thanks when something like that happens, okay? We'll talk a little bit more about that later. One would be doing some letter writing, finding out also legislatively what can be campaigned for or against. Establishing some research committees to explore certain topics that relate to the family. Maybe putting out a little bit of a newsletter on campus. And then, what I think would really be, this is not a large number of people here. You know, I don't know how, if we can make this grow or what we can do, but it would be neat if we could put on, like, say, a series of workshops in the spring, having gone through a list of topics and having assigned some research to different people, people agreeing to do some research in some areas, to do some presentations for the student body so that they can find out what there is, with the goal of preparing like a bibliography or something so we can say to the vicars and the people leaving here, hey, here's some resources. If you need to know what are some good premarital counseling resources, obviously we've got some here with our pastoral staff, but also some other items. And again, we'll look through that list shortly. We can say, hey, here's some resources, and this one is good for this, or this one is not good for that, whatever. So those are just some ideas. What I'll do is just a couple other things I'd like to say too, that in looking towards moving towards action, you know, trying to do something in the church but also in society, there's the danger of confusing the left and the right hand kingdoms, you know, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. And oftentimes Christians, when we're trying to address moral issues, we sometimes are just trying to make society the kingdom of God, which is not really an appropriate goal. But we still have to address moral issues, which, because we are citizens in the left-hand kingdom, we have to address those issues, and we can't just let immorality or injustice go on. As citizens, we have a right to speak up, but just that there's a danger there in confusing the two kingdoms. There's also the danger of legalism, obviously, of making Christianity just a matter of being moral and subscribing to a certain code of ethics, and we can't let that happen. And also, there's the danger of forgetting what really is our ministry. Ultimately, you know, even if Christians work and we save babies' lives and we preserve marriages, if people don't know Jesus Christ, they're going to die without him, and that's really our ministry, and we dare never forget that. So, I'll tell you what, I'd like to go ahead and pass these things out. If you would just take one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's enough. I I tell you, I'm just so impressed with media services, and I'm not just saying that because they're recording this. They've really been good, arranging an overhead and everything for me. What you have before you is simply a list of specific tasks which could be done. Some of them to gain information which could be disseminated through the community, some as ideas for research for people to get in, to involve themselves with. Now, in a group this size, I don't know what's appropriate for us to look at or how we can look at including others or whatever, and I welcome your suggestions there. Maybe there's a whole different way of approaching these things, but would like to just serve as at least get them out and talk about them just a little bit. If you've got them before you, I guess I'll go ahead and put that up. Obviously, a lot of couples here are in childbearing age, and so the first idea under pro-life concerns is relevant. Identifying St. Louis hospitals which abort and which do not abort. And I don't know how a person goes about doing that. Maybe you can just call up the hospital and say, do you do abortions here? Or call up the chairman of their board. I don't know. But somebody could take that on as a project and start identifying those hospitals which do not do abortions with the goal of using them. Get on the Missouri Right to Life mailing list. That's a... Does one of these have a list which has some printing on it? Okay, well, if not, that's okay. That's okay. I guess I left that there in my room. Okay. Get on the Missouri Right to Life mailing list, just simply because they provide a lot of information about what's going on politically, what you can campaign for, what you can campaign against. A master list of Right to Life chapters, just because, so that we can tell people when they're graduating from here, hey, when you get where you're going, here's where you can write to for information. So that you've got a place to start. Now, idea number four is an idea, this is a biggie. But Professor Robbie suggested this to me once. We were talking about this, and he said, Jay, what about getting ethics profs from Wash U and St. Louis U together with profs from here and having an ethics forum? I thought, what a fantastic idea, but that would be obviously a big undertaking. But kind of a provocative idea and a way for us to start addressing people outside the community, to start addressing. I mean, obviously Wash U is a very prestigious medical school, and it would be nice to have a chance to try and give them some input and to try and get access to their way of doing medicine and their goals and all that. That was an idea he gave me, and he suggested that I talk with Professor Klotz, whom I spoke with like a year ago before I went on Vicarage, and I've not spoken with him since I came back. He suggested at that time that I speak with him when I come back. Number five, I think this would be an interesting project, comparing the functions and the means of establishing crisis pregnancy centers. Many of you probably know that we have a crisis pregnancy center just nearby here on the corner of Big Bend and Clayton Road. And it's something that's established by Protestant churches collectively. And they do a lot of pro-life counseling for women. And they have a hotline and just provide really neat services for women, a place for them to live. Hi. Oh, that's fine. And we've got resources to find out how do you go about establishing a crisis pregnancy center. They have a whole handbook, which I got from their head office when I was in Washington, which I've never had the time to go through, you know, just because you just, it's one of those things, I'll file it, look at it later. That would be something that if someone could take the time to research that, could find out, hey, this is what you got to do, and let the community know.
Oh,
wow, that sounds really good.
Very good.
Okay, that's an interesting format they used. Another way that churches are responding, right here in St. Louis, is Clergy for Life is headquartered, and they have what they call the place of refuge. The churches identifying themselves as places of refuge, and it would be interesting to have somebody get the. I've got that information, but I haven't really gone through it to explore it and find out what it's all for. But how does the congregation use it? Talk to some people in some congregations that have used it. What's been their experience in finding out, so that when we go out from this place, you know, this is an idea for you. Another one is the Thread of Life, Homes for Mothers. I don't know if you've seen the thing that we got at the president's, or the last Wednesday, the convocation. They're talking about, is it Synod Money Raising Appeal, and they talk about this church in California that started a home for unwed mothers, and it's now 14 homes, and it's called Thread for Life. It would be interesting to have somebody contact them and find out, what did you do? How did you get started? What was the reaction of your congregation when you started doing this? How supportive have they been? Has it been divisive? Those kinds of things. Have somebody research that. Maybe research all three and compare what those experiences have been. You know, how viable are they for a Lutheran church? You know, just so that somehow we can provide ideas for people here on their way out. Okay? National Lutherans for Life Convention is the last weekend in October. Last day of October, first 2 days of November. I think that's how it works out. It's in Des Moines. I was talking with Dr. Lindsay at the International Center the other day, and he said, hey, I would be glad to pay for two people to go to that. If you have that weekend free, if you could take a three-day weekend and would be willing to do so and to come back, it would be great. And I have attend those seminars with the goal of collecting that information and disseminating it when you got back. Just fantastic. And he said, hey, look, I said, you've got bridges you're trying to build in Africa, and you've got all these things. I feel bad at the seminary taking this thing. He said, look, I'm trying to coordinate all of these needs all over the world, and if I see a need in St. Louis for people to get involved with the pro-life movement at the seminary campus, I can say that's important. And he was glad to do so. So, do you know, he wasn't at St. Paul when you were there, was he, Kathy? Oh, okay. Super guy. Okay. Also doing some research on Lutherans for Life, which most of you know, but how does the chapter get started? What does it do, and what resources does it provide? The only thing I know about it, in Washington, again, we were trying to get one started, but you can't just start with Missouri Synod people. You have to have people from two or three synods. We could not get people from the other synods to join, and so that was a frustration. Harriet, I've got some stories to tell you sometime about some conversations I had when I was in St. Louis, or Washington. It would be interesting as well to contact other concordias. What are they doing? Can we be a catalyst for them? If we can get together a resource packet, can we disseminate some of that somehow on another Concordia campus for their graduates, for their teacher graduates, for their graduates from Fort Wayne Seminary? Can we coordinate efforts? What can we do? Office of Government Information contact with Candace Mueller. Candace is a dynamite lady. She's the one that I mentioned earlier who said, why don't you broaden it to include family issues? Also this past spring, I worked with her to coordinate a trip for St. Louis for STEM students to go out to Washington for a week. And they did some lobbying while they were there in Washington with their senators, pro-life lobbying and some questioning and stuff. And she had a fantastic itinerary for us. We met some really important people there in Washington. But she has a handle on where the pro-life movement has been and where it's going. It's interesting that she said they're really not pushing the constitutional amendment anymore because it doesn't look like that will get passed. So the pro-life movement is now moving into legislation like cutting off funding for certain types of abortions, you know, kind of cut and paste type legislation. But she's a good contact for that. She can let us know. Here's an idea. Here's what you need to be watching. Serve as legislative state national liaison, survey legislative issues, facilitate lobbying. Again, that kind of ties in with the letter writing, but so that someone could coordinate those efforts, finding out through Candace or whatever else, newsletters, that what can be campaigned for. Interesting, on that number 10, I was just reading in Christianity Today that Humphrey from New Hampshire, a senator or a representative, I'm not sure, has introduced legislation which would make it much easier for women to give up their children for adoption, And, you know, his ultimate goal is to cut out the market for abortion, let women bring their children to term, so that, and by facilitating adoption, letting that happen, because there are parents who want children that are not able to get them. And, of course, he's being criticized for that, but that's something, you know, that's something that we can support or whatever. I also heard on the news today that it always kills me when they call them pro-choice groups, because there's only one person that's got a choice in when they talk about choice. But they are suing, I don't know how they're doing it, but they're trying to eliminate the Roman Catholic Church's tax-exempt status because they do lobbying. And so this pro-choice group is trying to get at the Catholic Church, you know, roundabout way, by making it pay taxes now, so that if they're going to they're trying to tell the church, either you quit lobbying pro-life, or you pay taxes. You can't do both. You know what I'm trying to say there. It's interesting that both of those things came to my attention just today. 11 research trends in pro-life lobbying. That's something that we touched on just briefly. That Candace had indicated that there have been changes there. Edit a family forum blurb, and that would be collating information and in terms of letters that people could be writing, bills that are pending. And I don't know if it would be better to try and put out a little half-page sheet once in a while, or what, just use the spectrum, you know, but somebody who would somehow be responsible for getting information into the hands of the student body so that we could start doing something with it. Researching special pro-life concerns in minority ministries. You probably know that the black community has the highest abortion rate. Washington, D.C., highest per capita abortion rate because it's primarily a black community. It's really their means of birth control, and it's not good. Serve on a bibliography resource review committee. Locate bibliographical resources for the audience needing to be addressed for pastors, mothers, grandparents, Christian pro-abortionists. That's a hard one. It's hard to talk to Christians that are pro-abortion because I get so... I can't keep calm. And it's important to find resources that you can give to those. You know, one of the best pro-life resources I've ever come across was by a feminist. And she said, a feminist pro-life stance is the only way to go. You cannot, if we're going to be truly feminist and stand up for the rights of women, we've got to stand up for the rights of the unborn. And her line of argumentation, not at all religious, but it was a remarkable, it was an excellent resource. And it was nice to have my hands on that, because right at that time I was communicating with a woman who identifies herself as a feminist, and the article kind of set her back because she had taken kind of a pro-abortion stance, and it caused her at least to pause and do some reflecting. If we could kind of be feelers for what resources are there, and then finding out, okay, what market would this be good for? Who could this speak to? And then collecting this bibliographical information and in a list and saying, okay, if you're going to talk to the father of the unborn child, here's an article maybe he can read. Get your hands on this article, or if you're talking to a feminist, have her read this, you know, those kinds of things, so that we can kind of be researching those things and preparing, just letting people know that those resources are there. 15, the Secretary Treasurer for efforts on campus. We don't have funding at this point, but maybe just by small donations we need. I don't know how we're going to proceed. We'll see. God is faithful. Next item of concern. Okay, family-related issue, pornography concerns. We've already talked about this just a little bit. The NFD Journal. You really have to commend them for what they're doing, because they monitor not only pornography but also advertising and also what's going on in the media. They'll talk about, okay, this series had this theme running through it, right? This advertiser. And I mean, you could spend your whole life writing advertisers if you do the NFD Journal. But still, it's a resource that helps us wake up and pay attention, and from that select what are appropriate, target areas. And we don't want to get militant and unkind about this, but, you know, if there's a problem, we can say something about it. Transmit advertising concerns to the same community. That gets back to the newsletter idea. Write letters to advertisers, manufacturers, thanking or criticizing them. And coming up with ways of suggesting and implementing guidelines for consumers, that's us, to thank and challenge store managers at video stores, at grocery stores, at convenience stores. I wonder what would happen if every time you went to the grocery store, if you were to say, I'd like to speak to the manager. And I mean, it's sort of to the point he knew what you were going to say every time, but if we were to say, hey, I just want to say, I don't think you're serving society well by having these pornography magazines here. And I, and I'd like to ask that you take them. You know, what if a number of people did that every time they went into the grocery store? What would the manager finally, you know, it just might really hit home. Or occasionally calling the manager over and saying, thank you for the fact that there are, these magazines are not there. If we as consumers could wake up and let managers know, give them some positive feedback or negative, but do it in a way that doesn't diminish our credibility with them, you know? Okay, TV committee. I think we could do some interesting ideas with the TV committee. Provide and distribute tool for evaluating dependence on TV. If someone was interested in this, they could come up with a way of evaluating how many hours do you spend in front of the TV set? How many hours do children spend in front of the TV set? What are the things that are usually running through your programming? And then maybe coming up with number two, write and conduct a TV dependence experiment using STEM and fieldwork homes. This is just, I mean, you could use anybody you wanted to, but solicit volunteers and say, we'd like to do an experiment and we'd like people to go cold turkey off TV for 2 months. And find families in the STEM community and maybe through fieldwork churches, families would be willing to try it and see what happens. Give them resources for what they can do instead of watching TV or somehow interfering with the TV watching habit. I don't want to make TV the evil one, but the fact is, it does destroy family life just because it's so easy. Ugh. Boy, I'm so thankful. I don't even have a family and TV's a problem. Boy, especially late night TV. Ooh, on weekends. Okay. Folks, these are not the only categories that we can be looking at. Please realize that. And these are not the only suggestions, obviously, in any category. If you have a suggestion or anything else, please make it. But this is just hopefully a catalyst for ideas, things that we could be doing. Sex education. You know, if we're going to talk about, if we're going to be pro-life and we want to be a resource to people, we could review sex education materials. What are the CPH materials like? How do they compare with other materials? What are congregations doing in terms of sex education? Are there congregations that really do include something more than thou shalt not commit adultery in their confirmation curriculum? Are there ways of approaching it in the congregation? Are there ways of equipping parents to speak to the children? You know, somebody who's got an interest in that could somehow serve as a resource that to the rest of our community and then on out from there. Let's see. Okay, here's a hot topic. Homosexuality. Maybe do a general research of the topic, suspected causes, review psychological trends. You know, you probably know that the AMA, American Medical Association, is that it? Or Psychological Association, whatever they are, is trying to remove it as they're trying to say it's not a problem. You know what I mean? It's not a category anymore. It's not valid to think of that as, obviously, don't think of it as sin, but it's even a dysfunction. Okay? When I was, what are Christian churches doing and what resources are available? When I was in Washington, I went to two seminars, both of them on ministering to homosexuals. One was sponsored by Lutherans, and the whole thing was, hey, it's no problem, it's okay. And how are we going to get our churches to accept it? And I was dumbfounded. Well, I wasn't really dumbfounded, but I was dumbfounded that nobody raised any questions. We got into these small groups, and this older pastor was saying, he says, you'll have to excuse me. I still have a lot of my old prejudices about this, but I'm trying to get over them. And it was really scary to hear this done in the name of Jesus and hear scripture so relativized, just nothing. And in fact, at the end of one, it was a prof from Luther Northwestern Seminary up in St. Paul that was speaking. He had one of the keynote addresses, and he was talking, and he said, the conclusion of his statement was, or of his talk was something like, so it doesn't matter what you do, so long as you practice responsible sexuality. And I raised my hand, and I said, well, how do you determine what constitutes responsible sexuality? What is your norm going to be? And he said, well, it's the community. You're informed, your conscience is informed by the community, which is what we used to call peer pressure. You know, researching that, what churches are doing. But also, I went to another workshop, which was at one of the conservative Presbyterian churches in Washington. It surprised me to come across real conservative Presbyterian churches in Washington. I wasn't expecting that. Fourth Prayers over on River Road. Okay, I went to a seminar there. Totally flip side. They had a very evangelical approach. But very biblical approach. And there was a gentleman there who's organized groups called HA, Homosexuals Anonymous. And they go through, it's very similar to Alcoholics Anonymous, but it's very Christ-centered, whereas AA is kind of God-centered, HA is very Christ-centered, but they obviously allow, I mean they do allow non-Christians to do that. But we're not familiar with that as a resource. And but it's something that's affecting family. Obviously a concern to parents. I heard a surprising statistic a while back. It was like in Christian colleges, they think that the percentage of people dealing with homosexuality is like 2 out of 5. Or no, excuse me, 2 out of 10, 1 out of 5. At least to some degree, that it's actually higher in Christian colleges because people are sometimes they're trying to work it out, trying to get it out of their system by being more religious or whatever. But I think it's something that we've not responded to other than to condemn it as sin, but we don't really oftentimes provide alternatives or resources. Somebody could resource that as a family issue. Next page, adoption. Is it something that congregations can do to facilitate the adoption procedures from the parent of the unwanted child to the agency? How's that connection made? How does an unwed mother get in contact, or any mother get in contact with an adoption agency? And how do parents, is there some way we can facilitate that process, is basically all that that's trying to say. How variable are adoption procedures from state to state? Again, with the goal of maybe finding out certain problem areas or certain areas where it's hard to adopt or whatever for people graduating from here. Again, in that article today in Christianity Today, they said that a problem is they're included in that legislation that they're trying to get through would be the goal of trying to get better records kept on adoption. They said there's just the records that are being kept by states are terrible, so they have trouble studying the adoption, the whole phenomenon of adoption. The statistics are so poor, and it's hard for me to understand how that could be the case, but that's what they said. And but adoption is obviously an option, something that we can look at. Locate, review resources for adopted parents, children at various stages in the relationship. Some of the special crises that adoptive parents and children might go through. Again, just an idea. Retardation. What curriculum items are available for congregations? What patterns are evident with abortion? You know, amniocentesis, I think that's what it's called. How often do people abort as a result of the results of amniocentesis? Is that right? Am I saying that right? Okay. What institutions are available for parents who have retarded children in terms of institutions like Bethesda, Good Shepherd Lutheran Home of the West, group homes? How about congregational sponsorship of group homes? What's the procedure that a congregation would have to go through? What kind of initial investment would they have to make if they want to coordinate with Bethesda Home out of Wisconsin? Options for congregational inclusion of retarded in the body, the worshiping body. Do we really provide for them? Oh, number 5, I missed that. Resources for helping parents cope with trauma. It would doubtless be a trauma to have a retarded child, and are there resources for helping parents cope with that? Ways of facilitating that. Parenting. It's just kind of funny that I'm sitting here talking about parenting. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. Okay, thank you, Gary. Thank you for giving me for that. Yeah. You know, that's such a big topic. How do you even start approaching the whole topic of parenting? But maybe exploring the biblical pattern of authority. What are parents supposed to do for their children? What resources are available? I mean, most of you are probably familiar with James Dobson films. You know, finding out about those. Single parenting needs. Step parenting. I don't know. You folks probably have a lot better ideas to what needs are that stresses on between parents and children, and you know what needs to be done there. What could be researched? What information needs to be disseminated? Elder parents, senior citizens. Are we utilizing them in ministry? Are congregations ministering to them? Or how are they doing it? With senior daycare, nursing home sponsorship, nursing home just involvement, social services that are available. Okay, and this one's pretty ethereal. But again, this kind of comes out of some conversations I've had with Candace Mueller. You know, she was also on the LCMS Task Force for Women's Commission. And that was an interesting involvement for her and some of her conclusions. And it was interesting, too, that her involvement in that led to a change on her part in the understanding of the relationship between men and women. And she really came to an appreciation of the biblical understanding of the relationship between men and women in a marriage. And it's really interesting to hear her talk about that, that commission really influenced her in that way. But exploring male and female roles and relationships, she gave me a book to read called Money, Sex, and Power. And I would have it in my car sometimes when I'd take the youth group members out for a Coke, and they'd always, what's Money, Sex, and Power about? And I'd have to explain what it was about. But it's this guy who's written a book, and he talks about how each of those are gifts God has given us to serve one another. And taken out of the context of service, they're misused. It was a good resource to come across. And I've got feminism there and the macho myth. Boy, talk about open-ended topics. But possibly worth pursuing. Maybe somebody's got an interest in pursuing what feminism, where it's coming from and where it's going, some of its criticisms are valid, and where it's problematic. Boy. Marriage enrichment tools. Locate and review premarital counseling tools. Taylor Johnson personality profile. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I guess I'll say it. I took it once, but not in a premarital counseling situation. It's kind of a counseling tool, but I know it's sometimes used for premarital counseling. Really a helpful little personality profile thing. It was really helpful. And pastors can you've got to be licensed to give it, but you can do it, and it's kind of like a weekend workshop. Are you familiar with it, Harriet? Okay. I don't even know how a person gets licensed, but it's not like you've got to go get a graduate degree or anything. You basically have to have a professional degree. And do you have it, or? Oh, you did. Okay, did you find it helpful? Yeah, I wish I could say that's the only psychological test I've taken, but another one that I took, much more comprehensive, I found much less helpful. It was a very simple test with Taylor Johnson in it. Very, very good. Premarital books for women, books for men. Ah, there's a book that I loaned to somebody once. It's called, it's by Trobisch. I don't know. It's written by his wife, I think. I'm not sure, but anyway. But I gave it to somebody, and she said, why? I wish I had had this. Oh, I gave it to Candace. Pardon me? No, I can't think of what it's called. I've got it up in my room. I've never read it, but she said, I wish I'd had this before I got married. What a resource. Letters from Candace. Okay, well, I think this is by his wife. Yeah. But she said it was just fantastic. Maybe somebody could review that. What other resources there are, and let people know, hey, this is a good book. Now read it. Books for men. Locate postmarital counseling resources. I've heard pastors say that, hey, premarital is a piece of cake. It's the postmarital you got to worry about. You can't tell them anything before they're married. Once they're married, then they're willing to listen. I don't know. Maybe that's the case. Maybe, I don't know. You could know about that. Oh, yeah, after marriage. Post-ceremonial, maybe, or something. Or marital counseling resources. Why didn't I say that? That would have made sense. Yeah. Marriage enrichment, marriage encounter, books, resources, tapes. I've got some tapes that Dean Vogel loaned me that I'm dying to have somebody listen to. It's by John Powell, who's going to be here, not here, but in St. Louis on the 26th for Pro-Life Rally, and I forgot the posters for that. Anyway, but their goal is to facilitate communication between married couples. Maybe we could get small groups going. I don't know. There's a million things we could do. Time management, priority review tools, clergy marital stress patterns. What I think would be interesting would be to do a survey of clergy and clergy spouses. Saying, you know, how maybe conducted anonymously, let them know that they would be anonymous, but come up with some sort of a survey that could say, what are the stresses? What were you not prepared for? What have you had to do to take steps to preserve your marriage? Or how has your marriage helped you? Yes, that kind of a thing. But maybe do a survey of clergy couples and finding out from them after they've been out for a while what's gone on. also marriage enrichment, one thing I don't have down there, but letting people know about, and maybe Nurse Maxted does this, but natural family planning or family planning stuff. I never talked to her about it, but Gary, you've been involved with some. No, you. Well, with that.
Yeah.
What is that called?
It's called the Couple League. It's a Catholic organization that teaches natural family planning. And she
doesn't. She gets read
and you mentioned it. Anita does? No, that's very sad.
Oh, as in.
Well, she didn't say much. I mentioned to her one day, told her I was available to help.
Just embarrassed.
I know, it may. I was shooting at a Catholic hospital. We didn't learn from any of the week before we came here.
Okay, folks. So, where do we go from here? What I had hoped to do was to, in presenting these ideas, find out what people were interested in. Something that they would be interested in pursuing on their own with the goal of somehow sharing it with the rest of the community, either via a blurb in the newspaper or at a workshop in the spring. Now, with this number of people here, it's pretty hard to, you know, really divide up tasks, but do you have suggestions? Do you have... Can you see of a way of approaching these things, or?
I'll be in charge of the TV one, and I'll produce a video.
Right. Produce a video about not watching TV. Kathy. We showed those at my Vicarage congregation, and they have good series. No, it was the other series that he did. I think it was an earlier series.
Yes.
Focus on. That's a good idea. I'm just debating whether I'm honest to tell you. When I saw one of those films, one of the things that I thought was so good that he told parents. I guess we're adults here, right? Can you shut me off here? I'm serious. Okay. No, okay, I'll tell you. One of the things that I thought, why didn't he tell my parents that? He said, when your children get to be pre-adolescent, your son, you talk to him about masturbation. And, you know, he said, a lot of young men just can't believe they're Christians because it's such a struggle. And I thought, praise God! Here's a Christian educator finally talking about something that's affecting a lot of lives.
Adolescence series, my brother was gone through that, and we went through that, and it's stupid. I mean, they want the kids to go through this at the 5th and 6th grade level, and which is just the right age to get the kids with it. And the parents go through it with the children, and it's stupid, the things that they
have. Oh, the parents are in it with the kids.
They have to go through it, too.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That it isn't just the kids struggling with this and by themselves. The parents... I mean, there's even times when they, the parents and the kids sit down together and, dad and mom says, well, what do you think? Now you've heard all this, what do you think? You got questions. It forces you to talk about it.
How do you think congregations do that with that group and the parents?
together for the whole year. They went through the book and the whole thing.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Wait, how long of a series is it?
What are we going to produce?
Well, maybe, good question. What are we going to produce?
It would be most helpful for me, you know, in thinking of years ahead, to have something, you know, like a Crescent published by Valparaiso University publishes occasional papers, which are reprints of whatever. But those are nice things to have, you know, think of my book as a file, you know, abortion.
Or the Fort Wayne publishes a beautiful Femwise resource book and has chapters on each thing and lists, you know, resources for each topic that they've chosen as their topic, such as marriage and, well, there's of course has things like alpha yoga stuff in it, but I mean, you know, whatever you would choose. And it's a thick thing, it's, you know, I mean, a good inch thick.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah, it's big.
Yeah. I'm not sure what we would be able to do. Maybe through Dean Bova's office we could get some things going. Maybe what you're suggesting, do you think a bibliography of articles, or do you think that's enough? Do you think we have to reprint things? And
well, so for instance, I would be willing, I was serious. I want to do more research about television. That's something I feel really strong about. You know, so I would take that one on. What I would hope to produce would be book reviews on a couple of, you know, short book reviews, some, you know, a report of my own, you know, something that I would show, an introductory stuff, you know, thing, talk about the issues and different things, and then a few reviews of whatever, and then a list of a bibliography. See, so somebody can pick it up, get an idea of the topic and the issue at hand, and see the resources available.
Okay. What would you think of picking a topic month by month? I mean, we'd just sit down and I'd come up with a list of topics per month, and then whoever is able to contribute.
I'd like to suggest instead month by month. I don't want to go person by person, because we don't have that many months and we have a lot of topics, you know. So I would not necessarily need a special forum to present this occasional paper, although that would be okay, but, you know, it'd almost be nice to have, instead of organizing it around a calendar, organizing it around a topic.
Okay, you're saying person by person, I'm not sure what you mean by that.
TV, abortion, marriage, sex education, you know, or whatever.
Oh, I see what you're saying. In terms
whoever
of assigning
was involved, it. Whatever they feel strong with it.
Yeah? That sounds... But then, would that information be then distributed? Like, one month it would be one person's project, the next month, are you suggesting that, or what are you suggesting?
Yeah, there would probably be two benefits. As a retreat, or as a...
I guess I would do it with as little time out as possible. You know, I would be, you know, stick this thing in the people's mailbox. That's not quite enough, you know, but something along that low-key caliber. Or maybe have a day of presentations, you know, have a spring retreat. How simple, you know, you wouldn't have to do all the work you did for the fall. Have a spring retreat, have a low key, have a schedule, you know, to release our things we presented, get the media folks to tape it, to lend it a credibility, and then make the papers and tapes available. If you have a budget, even give
okay. So would you suggest then month by month?
Not
at all.
Month by
oh, just
month.
Give them the year and then on that day.
That's right.
Hey, that sounds great to me.
I mean, why month by month? I mean, these are going to be issues whenever we do it.
Yeah. The only concern I had was just that there's some terms of letter writing. If we wanted to do that, you need some kind of ongoing information process.
Okay,
maybe
well, that's three separate things. If somebody's interested in
but maybe that
grab
could be
a pack of legislative issues, then let them do that. Let them send in little things, even a daily announcement.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe that would be just the nature of the topic would determine whether it was going to be, you know, ongoing or whether it was going to be kaplunk.
Yeah.
very,
it's a short
yes,
time.
Yeah.
Maybe what we can do now will facilitate something for next year.
Yeah, however we can do that, you know. That.
No, what I'm thinking in terms of, I think what you said about being gone, I'll be gone too, but what I'm thinking more of is in terms of, so we've presented the resources to people now. Now they have, you know, somebody else after can go on with the letter writing and find the people
yeah.
that are interested in doing that, or, you know, present the topics more in depth if they so choose. But if we give them a base to go on.
Yeah.
Well, that's also what I was thinking. At the start, we're talking about, you know, have a standing family committee. But the topic is so huge that to have an ad hoc committee like this that meets for 7 months, have a retreat or whatever, and then disband, we've just scratched the surface and then we abandon the whole thing. The next year, somebody else wants to have a 7 month thing. They refresh everything that we've
yeah.
done. They have their own little retreat. They only scratch the surface and then they disband. It seems to me with something like this that maybe if we could get something more permanent going so that first year students or second year or whatever, year by year, the thing continues to build up a body of resources and or papers or videotapes that we could do or things of this sort. And that way it can build up, like I say, a library of its own rather than reinventing the wheel every year.
Well, I mean, it depends on how much you want to dream. We could publishing an annual Concordia Family Journal or something.
See, yeah, but
we have our own journal and each would have articles.
I very much agree with that because this, I mean, I think there's not any one of us here who could deny that these issues are so incredibly important that, I mean, we could dream as much as we like, and we're not going to overdo it as far as whether the topic warrants the attention. And, you know, I think the more study and the more we do along those lines, we can only do good. And there's no way that we can think about disseminating information to the community unless we're solvent enough that we're around, you know, as a semi-permanent institution.
As in constituted, you mean?
I would say so. I mean, you know, there's only 11 of us here, but it seems to me that given the size of the task and its importance, and it's sort of a cumulative thing, that it would fit very well in that sort of a situation, a constitution.
How much does it cost to publish a journal? You know, that would be kind of nice, you know?
And again, we established our own library, you know, so that when we go to the community, we may not be able to do that this year, say, because we're starting from scratch. Next year, maybe the year following, we've got a couple of years behind us. We've had several small groups do research on this, write a paper on this, research on that, write a paper on that. Perhaps we've established which hospitals perform abortions and which not. Maybe we've had a retreat or a convocation next year or a seminar or whatever. More and more people are learning about what we're doing. Okay, we get more people interested because they see this is a serious committee. It's around like other serious committees, and they do serious work because we've read in the journal or we've read in the Spectrum or whatever what they're doing, and they're fruit. Otherwise, like I say, we're here today, we're gone tomorrow, and
yeah.
But I think that was very bold in the beginning. Once you open yourself up to this, it's the potential is incredible.
Right.
And I think that people get scared away by these types of issues because they are so overwhelming and there is so much that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so they choose not to get involved because they're afraid that
everybody
is so overwhelming.
Right.
So
another thing we have to do, I would say, is very important, is we have to establish a well-defined set of goals. Otherwise, it's a lot of work, and if you're afraid that you're not going to get anything for it, or you're working the entire year long for one retreat, then it may be that a lot of people say there's better places that I can put my time, or they just don't get motivated, even if they think it's a worthy cause, they just don't get motivated to really get into it.
I think that it's really good, a lot of things that you mentioned. I don't think you're going to cancel out on one thing, but one thing about picking something at the very end of the year is that so much happens at the very end of the year that if it has any encouragement to do something, people's minds aren't at that set. You've got fourth year students looking at packing up and ready to take off. You've got second year students ready to head out on a big bridge, and to be action oriented. Maybe they'll take it to their home their new home congregations or the vicarage congregations, which is great. You need those resources. But a lot of this I see as being stuff that needs to be done now, or trying to, you know, try making people even here more aware of things that can be going on now. And if you stick it on at the very end of the school year, it gets lost with all the other stuff that's going on.
Okay. Also, you get no immediate return. I mean, we would be starting now in October, and we would be thinking of the primary thing that we're doing this year not happening until many months away. You see, people forget. Do nothing on the time. It's a waste of our time.
Okay, so what we need, I think, is everybody else. We need a statement of mission, you know, a statement of purpose, even before our goals, you know. So, for instance, interesting, you kind of brought me back. So I was thinking, boy, the purpose of this is to give us future pastors, vicars, whatever, resources in the parish. That was what I was thinking just then. But that, you remind me that's only half of a potential mission. The other half is for awareness action right now on campus. So, for instance, I can see at the beginning of each year, you know, so if we designed a brief constitution or you know, guidelines for action, beginning of the year, people with interest in whatever area would volunteer, you know, on TV, abortion, and they would have two tasks. And the goal would be to have something to produce for the annual journal, but part of it would be that you'd want to or need to do something a little bit along the way, you know, volunteer a book review for Spectrum or whatever. In other words, that you kind of let people in on your research as it happens.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, statement of mission, and then maybe we design it so that, so if I read a book, you know, that would go into my body as my final thing at the end, but also halfway through the year, I can mention it too. Or research. You know, you can present this research you're going to do on TV addiction, whatever. Now, the results, of course, and the conclusions could be at the end, but the germs of the thought, the seeds, would happen.
And we have to establish a way, again, since we're not just serving ourselves, but we're trying not only to make ourselves aware, but also enlighten the seminary and later the community. We're going to have to think of ways in which that can easily be done. That is a newsletter or a journal. Something like that we get in place, so that if somebody does read a book and write a review, that there's some way already established for that review to be gotten to others who need to read it. Otherwise, nobody benefits from it except the one person who read the book.
Kind of what you were saying could tie into what Kathy mentioned. You know, if you have book report or something to do, maybe if there were those kind of things focused once a month. And I don't mean to, you know, harp on them once a month, but maybe there would be a topic or something once a month. And so if the TV thing, you're doing something for the long range journal or whatever to print, so somebody can have something to hold on to take with them, that maybe in the month of February, you know, that, well, if you have something together that you could publish it in the Spectrum, or maybe you'd have a flyer to go out, or it wouldn't have to be something grandiose, but it might just be something that could focus the attention of the campus on that one particular issue at that time. Does that make sense?
I think that's an excellent idea, because you say that we have papers and news, whatever, that we're going to be going into our cumulative work at the end of the year. But rather than presented all at the end, if they were presented month by month, and then for the following month, that could be our camp. We could try to focus the campus' attention on one thing, so that instead of just one letter going out to a conference on a certain subject, we could maybe all get together and pool our resources and our things. And that way, perhaps, actually make a difference rather than just kind of scratching away at it.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
So, I personally don't have the time or the desire to be a part of a group. Okay, this month I'm helping with it. This month I would rather give you my time on one issue that I can in-depth study from now until then. I'll fill you in along the way, but I guess I would rather dig into me.
Mm-hmm. Well, what
or
I was
me
talking
in the
about was perhaps a smaller volume than how I came off to. So that it would be more like basically the ability the other person has to say about a particular issue and or form or whatever we have involved in every month for every person. He would definitely be the person to be responsible pretty much for my topic, so that there's enough people all doing a little for whatever the topic is for that month. Maybe some good to come of it.
This might be a stupid question, but are any of these issues dealt with in classes? I mean, like,
no, that's not a stupid question. I think it's a very important one, because we don't want to duplicate a curriculum, you know. I've not seen them dealt with, but I've not had pastoral counseling yet. Well, some of them. But in terms of resources, I've not seen them.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen resource reviews or, I don't know.
The library
has. Oh, I'm sure the library's got something. It's just a matter of.
A section, this is where you go for abortion.
Other than they would have in general reference, I don't think so. I'm not certain. No, that's a good question. Well, okay, let's just summarize. Okay. Pardon me?
I was just thinking about a mission statement.
Okay, we were talking about statement of mission and also goal. Okay, mission statement. Gary, you touched on something. Initially, you touched something for people leaving campus here to take with them for future ministry, but also something on campus awareness.
A two-pronged mission. Now, of course, there need to be objects and missions. In other words,
you're gonna have to help me there. I've not had parish administration.
Well, no. I mean, so what we're gonna do on campus? What are we gonna? What awareness are we gonna raise on campus? What are we gonna? You know, we need to be specific. Family concerns or abortion and sex or masturbation committee. I mean, you know, whatever we're gonna go.
Yes, it would. Yeah.
My wrist. I'm always good.
Okay. Object time is a statement of mission or the goal, or both.
Oh, I'm just thinking object of intent to equip people on for the future and to make them aware on campus of, like, our mission is to.
Say that again one more time slowly. To equip.
Our mission is to equip. Well, I'm doing it backwards. I mean, I would learn at least our reverse to what you think, to raise awareness and provide opportunities for action on campus. Raise awareness for, and equip for future ministry. This is just off the top of my head.
Okay.
If you put on the shelf for a while, I'll come back. Help me explain that. For, you know, family.
Oh, that's what you mean by object.
Yeah, in other words, yeah, we have to make it explicit in our statement. And then all of our goals must be, you know.
Okay, well, is it too early? Can we say what our objects want to be, what we want the objects to be?
We can't really do anything until we do.
Okay. Okay. Objects. What would family concerns that kind of
well,
broad?
Well, obviously, I'm just bringing it.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Family concerns.
Do we have a break?
Excuse me?
Okay.
Oh, I think that's kind of summarized in the raising awareness and the equipping people.
Right.
But resources for exactly what? You know, what topic?
Well, then I think what you've got here would be a lot of your delegates. I mean, the things that you listed several, we don't necessarily have to do them all, we could add more to them. But this sort of thing.
Yeah, for family concerns, period. If somebody's concerns could include, or something like that.
Et cetera. So then when we talk about getting resources, I mean, this a resource on the family is so broad.
Yeah, right.
No point
in right.
Yeah, the library is a resource on the family.
Yeah. Okay, should we go on then to talk about goals at this point?
Well, when you say to understand, I mean, is this really going to be a group? And are we really going to get together again?
I guess it's really up to you. I would like to.
I would make it better to have this mission that we're really going to follow. I mean, I don't want to be abducted. I mean, I'm
in my way of thinking, this is such an important topic. We ought to get together again and again.
So, because together.
implement it through, you know, SEMWISE. There may be someone here from SEMWISE. And there may be other groups on campus where implementing this whole mission could occur through, and I want to make sure that they would be included in this so that they can be part of it. Does that make sense?
I have to admit, my original reason for coming was to see what kinds of things we could be telling the wives that would be available for them, you know. We have, what did they tell me, 150 possible wives that could be coming to some wives. We have 40 that come to some things. That's not even a third, you know, so.
Well, what we can do is, with our statement of mission, we could go to a group like SEMWISE and campus cluster Bible studies and students in mission and whatever, and solicit their help. Are you, in other words, is there a topic that you always wanted to research that you would like to help A, provide resources for on campus, and action B, you know what I mean? In other words, sort of the help. Is that maybe what you're thinking?
I'm just thinking if you're going to take the time now to define the group, make sure that you're including in the group all the people that you'd like to have included, like the SEMWISE or the whatever else there is on campus, so that you don't leave them out if you're taking the time now to define who the group is to be. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what really we would like to see accomplished, in terms of
we could take that and tell other people what we want and what we'd like to see.
Is this strictly a student group, or is the students and faculty, or faculty wise?
Oh, certainly. Any,
you know,
yeah.
Anybody wants to come?
Yeah, I would say one goal that we also hope for is that the committee itself should become established enough where it sticks around and where we can get familiar enough with the issues. And a body of literature that we've gathered, or bibliographies, or resources, or our own productions, or tapes, or whatnot, to be used for following years and to be added to and built upon. So that if somebody comes to us and wishes to know something or other, we don't have to immediately form a committee and begin on the project, but we may already have some things that we've done on that.
Yeah, I think that's good. We're going through this in some ways where nothing's been carried over from year to year.
Right.
Whatever you do should be set up so that
something
is there for the next people from the
okay. I have a question for you I'd like to ask about this. I'm a spiritual life chairman this year, and I've not really seen this as being a spiritual life endeavor. I've got students in mission, which kind of comes under me, and the devotional life committee, which comes under me, but it would be within the realm of possibility to just appoint a chairman for family life concerns, but I'm not sure that that's really would really go well under spiritual life. I'm not trying to take control of that, but in terms of ongoing thing, those other agencies have ongoing people appointed yearly or elected. But I'm not sure that spiritual life is really the domain here. I'm kind of acting as an individual tonight, not a spiritual life chairman.
I think it's just money to be spent somehow. I don't know where, because I don't know where it's going to be spent that well, but I think it's just money that somehow, if nothing else, just for the support administratively.
Okay.
I think. And the ongoing and everything else, I don't know where it would fit under, but I think it would not be a bad idea. Because somehow, someday, somebody has to wake up that this is not a campus full of single young men. And people out there don't know that.
No.
They think they come to college and go 4 years and go into Paris and then find a wife.
Well, sometimes it is. I hope they find a wife when they get where they're going.
At this point, that we need to be under the administrative wing somehow, because we're talking about making lots of copies of articles, and that's very expensive on an individual. We're talking about trying to, you know, get something out to the community and all this, and we're probably going to need resources.
If we wish to spend year by year, immediately, we have to gain some legitimacy.
Yeah.
Well, now, we can't function as our own group of people, but we have to affiliate ourselves with something else that will be.
Yeah. STEMWISE kind of is under Dean Bogle's office, is that right? Okay, so it's basically you're funded through him?
He got a grant for it through.
Okay. Would you see this as being appropriate something to come under his auspices? More than under student, now that's not student senate then at that point. It would be, it's more an auxiliary organization, not a real constituted part of the seminary.
Well, what would be the practical differences, whether it was a student senate or a student?
I don't know, in terms of funding, I don't know which would be better, really. I don't know how able he is to provide things. Under student body, money would be limited.
Well, if the student body would have 50 students, then YMCA, et cetera, would not be as readily.
That may be.
Well, that would be better than not about that one.
Yeah.
Under Dean Vogel, then? Bill?
There is something in the mailbox today for the student body that says from the seminary relations office. Would that office be of any assistance to the student?
I'm not sure. That's not, was it a little booklet?
The STEMWISE newsletter came out today and they had an article in there about the STEM relations office. We're trying to acquaint people with the different organizations on campus for the newsletter.
Was it like a little folder booklet?
A little folder booklet.
Why? I think that was the STEMWISE newsletter.
They're working.
Follow the star.
Maybe we should ask.
Ask Vogel, okay. I'm thinking. I know Dean Vogel's mind is working towards, has some long-term goals, and this might actually kind of plug into that more than under a student association.
No, I have a question, Jeff. Maybe you should take this to him, and get his response. We should let this percolate for a week or two, and then after you talk to him and we've heard, then we maybe should get together around the table and do some more specific stuff, because almost we're not in a position necessarily to do anything concrete. Really, I don't see, as an official group, I mean, I personally, as an official,
what will we, what will we have to do before we're ready to do something concrete? What has to happen?
Well, I think we need to be legitimate.
But maybe, I mean, if we could come up with goals, that might be better to go to him with some specific goals in mind.
Okay, a goal which we are willing to pursue.
Right, yeah. Okay. Maybe we can talk about goals in 52 minutes. I don't want to be here much longer.
Well, I was sure that this might be able to tell. I was kind of part of your suggestion of the student journal for of a newsletter, something like that, so that we can reduce our research to print and disseminate it to somebody else for their benefit.
But that's a degrading way of saying that. Reduce it to print.
Yeah,
that's
true. I believe it.
To talk a little bit about monthly communications and say, well, I did this, but, you know, if you'd like to talk to your senator about it, so-and-so has been down to camp and this sort of cause, or, you know, to be able to get helpful information where others can perhaps do it.
Yeah, is there anything special you got to do in order to have somebody give a presentation school-wide? I mean,
all you got to do is reserve a room and let people know. Unless it's during the day, then you got a problem.
And you have to sometimes clear it depending on the topic.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
The importance of speaking in tongues.
Yeah, right. If you put that in the bulletin, don't get it.
But if somebody
bulletins in tongues.
What's that? Somebody said, you know, it's a lot easier to get permission. No, it's all easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission.
But just from experience, I'll say, like, with our newsletter, it has to be cleared before it can go to print. Because
it's using his funds, yeah.
Yeah, well, not just that. They want to make sure that it's very Missouri citizen.
No heritage.
Yeah, and that is important, because we did have a situation where the newsletter was not that way. And, you know, we could be in for a libel suit on, depending on what kind of article we were writing. And I mean, you know, so it would have to be
within the realm of what, I don't know what I'm saying here, but
that just gets submitted and enrolled, right?
Ours says he has to approve everything we print, so.
We get the backlog, just all the holes coming in.
Also, let me get this straight, we're doing so much interpretive work, or is this mostly the determination of intonation?
When you say interpretive work, you mean like reading something and reviewing it, a brief review, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you see, you can get into a lot of trouble if you're,
Standard physiology.
Exactly, but if we're just letting people, you know, take abortion, now, you know, of course, it's our official position, we're very much against this, and now, so we're not talking about people going in and saying, well, you know, I sat down, I really thought about it, and I think some cases it's really okay, and this is why I decided that. I think the impression we would talk on about that is that we're saying, this is who you can write to about abortion, this is what you can do about it. Just telling them what are the tried and true ways? What things are out there that every Christian should know about? Not so much trying to come up with something new.
I think almost anything would have to be okay with it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it would, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering, you know, talking about.
That's not a difficulty.
I don't think this sounds like trouble. I don't think we're opening a big can of worms in that sense.
In terms of journal, you know, I'm just thinking maybe we could get 4 or 5 pages in the Concordia Journal that comes out sometime in the spring. No, we could not.
Oh, maybe it's just I
think it's
separate.
Yeah,
I would.
Really?
It should be separate.
Yeah. The only thing is that goes to like 9,000 people, you know, clergy and everybody. So maybe we can do both, huh?
Well, see, that would maybe we can't do that this year. I mean, we might try, we might fail, but I think that would be very good goal, especially if there are 9,000 clergy. If in a few years, maybe even next year, the committee, this group has done good enough work, and there's enough people interested in it now that we can put out a journal and it can go to 9,000 people, then I could really say that we've done something.
Especially
okay.
That just somehow is too good
of a proportion
that the committees aren't
talking to
them in
the
meeting.
Right, well, yeah. This obviously is not what people are talking about, like in the town. We'd have to have more people, or we're all
going
to be very tired.
Tired.
So it sounds like goals then to have a journal. Is that what we
Okay, well, let's pause it, potential goals, okay? And then follow Gary's suggestion, get back together again and say, hey, are these appropriate goals? And also be thinking in terms of what, of categories there. Maybe the categories should be rearranged, maybe some of them should not be pursued, maybe there's ways of incorporating them into each other.
Well,
you know?
Example, which is frequently the case, you know, you'll have one large group, and then in that group you'll have a committee on abortion, and another committee on TV, or what have you. We have several groups within the group whose ordinary job is to focus on one thing or another. And then the group as a whole then would collate the information from subgroups into a journal, into a newsletter, or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Naturally, you would also have to have somebody in charge of keeping track of the things that are written and the things that are being studied. So everybody. Right. So that everything goes smoothly and edifying. Rather than you have 11 people doing 11 different things, and we have, you know, the sum of the parts would be much less than what the whole could have been if it all operated.
One goal, we keep hearing it over and over again, is just to have some sort of published resource at the end of the year to cover certain topics that have been addressed.
A distinct from a journal, you mean? Or you're saying kind of thing, let's not define it so narrowly as a journal at this point. Published resource, okay. Printed, okay.
And also periodically, you know, written, you know, regular published, you know, maybe something as simple as daily announcement, but not only an end one, but an on the way one.
Periodic.
Another goal.
By established channels already, like the Spectrum, what do you think?
Yeah.
We'd have to use established
channels. Yeah, for the periodic one.
Yeah.
How about for another goal, just by the kind of
Or retreat, or seminar, or a fireside chat on it. Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay.
And of course, we'll need a very pretentious title. Well, we're told. We just think of something that spells something in acronym.
I'm trying to come up with families at ministry in Lutheran FAMA. Anyway, okay, here's what we've got. Printed resource, something, printed resource, our own, end of the year. Periodic published stuff by established channels. That would be more like reviews, probably, or tabs on research. Sponsor convocations, retreat seminars, fireside chats. Okay, I tell you what, let's do some thinking. Do some thinking about what could be done. Do some thinking about appropriate topics. Our mission is to raise awareness, provide opportunity on campus to equip people for future ministry, and to equip people for future ministry for family concerns, including, you know, and go through those topics and see which ones you think are appropriate, and we can come to some kind of a consensus at a not too much later date. Okay. Is that okay for people? Are you comfortable leaving it at that?
I think it's just amazing when we saw it.
Yeah. Or rather, maybe, let's just say, I'm going to say I will bring one person with me.
I'll bring one person.
Yeah, I can. Have a brought this time, right? Because you've got two, you have
two. Yeah, we
two. Okay.
But yeah,
family and social concerns, or that's really. Okay. Okay. Let's set up a time then. Is Monday night okay? Is there a better time? Someone's going to be meeting in 2 weeks on a Monday night?
They meet on the 20th. 2 weeks.
So maybe next
week. Is
that enough time? Well,
is that
enough time?
Pardon me? What are we going to do in the meantime?
Oh, well, that would be my goal, yes, meet with him beforehand. Okay. I doubt that I'd be able to meet with him then beforehand. Before then. Another night? Is there another night that's good?
It'd be dangerous
to meet on that day.
Monday.
What time did you come with?
7:12. How about Sunday night?
7:12. Oh, yeah, weekends? Is that what you said?
No, 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Well, but
that's putting us near the end of October.
Yeah, what are we. Why are we. I mean, I know we're wearing this is the best thing, too, but what else are we.
Well, is that crucial to talk to Dean Vogel beforehand, do you think? Yeah, he does.
And if you know, I assume that many of us already have interests, you know, I mean, could you pursue those interests?
Could we just run a quick poll here? I mean, are those things that you saw tonight, is there anything that you see find a personal interest in?
I can lay my hands on that today. Oh, no. Sorry. TV is mine. TV?
Parenting and marriage enrichment. Parenting and marriage enrichment. Pro-life?
Pro-life,
pro-life. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, if we narrow the focus somewhat from all these categories, that might
be. Well, sure, like with pro-life, I mean, pornography comes under pro-life, really. You know, you could group them, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Well, everybody, thanks for being here this evening. Have we accomplished enough that we're ready to go?
Well, when we come back in 3 weeks.
Okay.
You will have talked to me a little bit.
Yes, I will.
Do you want to have questions either? I have to know.
I'm going to ask him, I'm going to give him share with him what we've come up with in terms of mission statement, goal statement, and ask him how we can fit under his umbrella if that's possible, what's available for funding, whether or not he sees this as appropriately being under his auspices.
Is it ordinarily, I mean, I don't know how it's already done, but do ordinarily a group go to say, or whatever, with nothing yet, because there's a couple of ideas, and then present it to him, he says yay or nay, or do you ordinarily get more established first, so that when you go to him, you have more evidence that something serious is going on?
No, it's not really an ordinary.
Well,
I've talked with him in passing about this, you know.
But he's going to be able to take know that he would be terribly interested in incorporating this group into anything he's got. Maybe that's different than him.
Yeah, in passing, he seemed affirmative, you know.
He might join this. I can't imagine him saying that, but there might be something on there he'd say, no way, Jose, and that might be good to know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, let's close with a prayer. Most merciful God, thank you for calling us to this place. And thank you that in this place you've let us spend some time together this evening. Thank you for the gifts of these people. Please give us clarity of mind, a desire to serve you, a desire to serve our fellow human beings here on campus and in future ministry and in our world. And please enable us by these efforts to glorify you and to be faithful servants, but to build where things are breaking. We ask your blessing on us as we go about and assume our various responsibilities and enjoy our various relationships. To you be the glory now and forever. In your name we pray. Amen.